let's pray together. God, you are great, God. And we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you, God, that we get to gather together this Sunday, this day, and proclaim this truth, God, together as a community. Holy Spirit, we invite you now. Would you come and meet with us, God, as we look to your scripture, as we continue to sing and pray. Meet with us, God. Would you help us to see you so much more clearly, God. So we thank you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would just take a second to turn to someone near you. If it's someone that's new, even better, introduce yourself. At this time, if you've got a child in kids or tots, at this time you are dismissed as well. Well, welcome to King's Cross. My name is Sarah. I get to be one of the pastors here. And it is such a joy to gather together. I'll just give everyone a few more seconds, a few more minutes to say hello. Okay, I guess you're done. it's such a privilege to be here because I rarely get the chance, not because the invitation is not given, but I rarely get the chance where I am so up for speaking on a Sunday. So I thank you for your encouragement. I need your prayers as well. So with that, why don't we get started? Let me just organize myself just a bit. Well, I'm incredibly blessed to be here, incredibly blessed to be able to work with the team here at King's Cross. And I do believe that all of them, they are some of the best here in Seoul to work with. Been here for about a year and a half now, working as one of the pastors, and it really has been an incredible joy. And again, as we lead this church together, constantly, week after week, I am challenged. I'm challenged in my own faith walk with Jesus. And I'm just constantly learning new things. And this is a blessing. It's a massive blessing and a miracle of sorts for me because for the longest while, I had disqualified myself from being used by God, from really just being loved by God. I felt that I wasn't, good enough, or that my own competency or the lack of my character was what disqualified me from being available, again, to be used by God. I guess the big question for us today, the question I've got for you is, today, have you disqualified yourself from being used by God? Because maybe, like me, you might not feel good enough, or you might feel like something is setting you back from really, really being used by God. Not just being used by God, but being loved by God. Maybe there's something that's keeping you from really embracing the love of God in your life. That's what we're going to be looking at today, just a little bit about what we do with our weakness. What do we do with that kind of gap where we fall short? What does Christ, what does Jesus think about that? There's an author that I've been really kind of obsessed with ever since studying. His name is Henry Nouwen. He was a Dutch priest. He was also a writer, a professor, and he was interested in a lot of the things that I'm interested in, and that's probably why I really love reading his writings. He loved pastoral ministry. He loved social justice and community. Psychology, all of that. And I think I remember reading that, he was influenced greatly by artists like Van Gogh or Rembrandt, theologians like Thomas Merton, and people like Jean Vanier. If you don't know who he is, he headed up this community for those who had disabilities, and it transformed the lives of so many. And so Henry Nouwen, he spent two decades teaching at universities like Yale, Harvard. These are names that we all know. And after 2 decades of teaching, he decided he wanted to go and spend some time in this community called Les Arches. I don't know French very well, so I may be butchering all these names, but I'm trying. And so he went, after 2 decades of teaching in academia, to this intentional community where there were people with disability, both intellectual disability and physical disability. And there he writes about how he truly found a faith, how he truly found what God thinks of him and his weakness. And again, something you'll find if you ever read one of his books, there are so many, I'd love to recommend all of them to you, is that he has this incredible, unique, spirit-filled wisdom that touches on his imperfection in light of the gospel message. And he does this in a really beautiful way of writing. He talks about his courage and willingness to confront imperfection, again, in light of the power of the gospel. And what I love about him is that he recognizes the limitations that we have as being human, but fully he recognizes the abundance of God's grace over his life and over our life. Just give me a second. I think I forgot how tall I am. And so I can barely see my notes. But the spiritual journey for Nawin was never about perfection. And this, I hope, gives you great hope today. It's not about our imperfection. For him, it was about living a deep, amidst his imperfection, living a deep and meaningful life with God and having that bear fruit in the lives of those around him. Nawin's weaknesses served as a deep avenue for which God's limitless power could be displayed freely. And this is what he said. This quote, it is indeed through our broken, vulnerable, mortal ways of being that the healing power of the eternal gods becomes visible to us. So I love that. He didn't hide, you know, because and he didn't shrink back because of his weaknesses, but he fully embraced what God can do amidst our shortcomings. Here's another great quote. Andrew Murray, not the tennis player, I don't think, but Andrew Murray, another great writer in his book, Abide in Christ, The Joy of Being in God's Presence. And read this along with me. It's such a good quote, and I can hear myself in this quote. I wonder if you can as well. The Christian often tries to forget his weakness. God wants us to remember it, to feel it deeply. The Christian wants to conquer his weakness and be freed from it. God wants us to rest and even rejoice in it. The Christian mourns over his weakness. Christ teaches his servant to say, I take pleasure in infirmities. The Christian thinks his weaknesses are the greatest hindrance in the life and service of God. God tells us that it is the secret of strength and success. It is our weakness heartily accepted and continually realized that gives our claim and access to the strength of him who has said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. When we look at scripture, I grew up, I don't know about you, but I grew up looking at some of our Bible heroes and thinking that they were pretty perfect, that they must have had some qualification about them that made them all right to be used by God. Now that I'm just a little bit older, maybe a lot older, and with a little bit of kind of life experience as well, reading scripture now, I'm seeing a lot more of the other side of these Bible heroes, you know, and I'm seeing a lot of my narrative, my story in their story, their weakness, the ways that they fall short. But again, God used them. And I love the Bible. I'm sure many of you do too. And I love it because the Bible doesn't spin the weaknesses and makes these Bible heroes look better than they actually are. It's pretty honest. It's pretty vulnerable and pretty raw. So I wanted to read through a short list of our Bible heroes, looking again from just this other side. Yes, they did incredible things in God's power. But I wonder if maybe reading through this list, you might see a little bit of yourself in it as well, and just recognizing a little bit of their weakness as well. The list is pretty colorful as well, so It's interesting. Noah, we all know Noah. If you don't, he did some massive, huge things for God. He got drunk. Jacob, another great Bible hero, he lied. Moses, he had a stutter. I didn't know this until later. He had a stutter. Rahab, we all know she was a prostitute. Timothy was just too young. Jonah was a coward. Peter denied God. Zacchaeus, he was just too small, poor guy. Naomi was a widow, not because it was her fault, but she was a widow. Job, he went bankrupt. He went bankrupt. Elijah was burnt out. Paul, he was a bully, like a really bad bully. Jeremiah was depressed and suicidal. Thomas doubted all the time. Moses, he had a temper. Timothy, he had physical ulcers. He was not well physically. And Lazarus, if you remember Lazarus, he was dead. He was just useless, like totally useless. And again, the stuff, I just really overlooked the weakness and the kind of frailty of our Bible heroes. And when I look at them now, the character, their competency, right? It didn't qualify or disqualify them from being used by God. They were still used by God. In fact, through them, many were healed. Nations were saved. And some of them even share the same Bible, the same family lineage, like the same family tree as Jesus Christ. So it wasn't down to their lackings. God's qualification system. I've been thinking a lot about this past week. You know, how does he qualify us? And I realize it's very different from the way I qualify myself. And I wonder if it's very different from the way that you qualify yourself before God. God has a way of approaching our weaknesses, and it's very different. Rather than stressing and obsessing over our lack, God, he provides another qualifier. So if you remember that short list, we're going to look a little bit at Paul. On that short list, he was the bully. He was the one who made Christian lives really difficult before he met Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 15, 9, 10, this is what he says about himself. For I am the least of the apostles, and I do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. We see that Paul even considered himself the least likely person to be used by God. You know, he even says in the scripture, you know, no, don't call me an apostle. Like, I don't deserve that title. You know, if only you knew what I did in my former life, you know, you couldn't call me that. But at the very same time, there's that big word, but. And he goes, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And he acknowledges that it's by God's grace, and that God's grace made an impact on his life. Oh, give me a second. Yikes, it always happens. And I wonder, you know, if Paul said something else instead of this, what if he said something like I said to Sungmin this week? Oh my goodness, no, I can't preach on Sunday, I'm not good enough. Or I can think of like 10 other people that can do a better job, why don't you pick them? Or, oh my goodness, if you knew what I thought about, you know, you last week, you know, you wouldn't want to, you know, me too, you know, speak on a Sunday, you know, goodness me. What if Paul said something to that effect, right? Things would be a little different right now, I think. But instead, Paul heard from God. And he was used by God to pass along God's wisdom to people all around him. And even through scripture for us today, he wrote it down, that wisdom. He was used by God. He was loved by God, amidst his humanity, you know, amidst his weakness. And Paul received God's grace. God's grace is God's love and favor over his life. He received it. And it impacted the way he viewed himself and the way he was used by God. Mm-hmm. later, a book later in Scripture, it says this, 2 Corinthians 12:9. And this is when Paul gets a vision. He's praying, and God answers him. God says to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And this is what Paul says back in response. "Therefore, I boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." In another translation called The Message, this is a really wonderful, beautiful translation of Scripture. If you're ever finding yourself in need of just reading another translation, I'd really recommend The Message. It kind of brings to life these words. So in this translation, it says the same verse like this. So God says to Paul, "My grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness." And Paul says in response, "Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Now I take limitations in stride with good cheer. And these limitations that cut me down to size, limitations like abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become." Paul boasted of his weakness. He gave attention to his weakness and accepted it as God's design for his humility and for God's glory. And Paul, I love reading about him now after learning this about him, because he looked intentionally for ways to turn his weakness into Christ-exalting experiences. And I wonder what it might look like for us to apply a little bit of what Paul's saying into our own lives. So just two questions for us today, and I'm not done yet. So just two questions. Ask yourself right now, who am I with Christ? We all know who we are without Christ, but who are we with Christ? And what effect has his grace had on you? So just 30 seconds, think about those two questions. Who are you with Christ? And what's the impact of God's grace on your life? Two more Bible verses I just want to encourage you with as you think about those two questions. Philippians 1:6, it says, "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." And that ought to give us great hope that we are not these finished products, but we are, you know, in progress, that God is still very much at work in our lives. He's got more of his glory to shine through us. A second verse, Colossians 1:11-12 says this, "Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience in giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people and the kingdom of God." That word qualify is right there in that scripture. It's Christ who qualifies us. I don't know about you, but if you're anything like me, it might be the way that you see yourself that's been your qualifier. It hasn't been Christ. It's just been the way that you see yourself. Things that I've said to myself, I don't know about you, but, you know, if only everyone loved me or liked me or favored me, then maybe then I'd have the influence to be really used by God. Or maybe it's your past. Again, I can relate with this as well. Past decisions I've made, or past mistakes that has acted as your qualifier instead of Christ. You know, if only I hadn't done that. You know, if only I had made a different decision, then maybe God could use me, but it's just too late. It could be a lot of these things. It could be the life of comparison, always looking and thinking, if I had what they had, you know, then maybe God could use me. Maybe a life circumstance or a season, you know, if only I wasn't divorced, you know. Or maybe for you, if only I wasn't single. Or maybe even for you, I'm looking out there, maybe if I wasn't married to this guy or this girl, you know, then God could really use me. I hope that's not the case. Or maybe for, you know, some moms and dads out there, maybe if I didn't have little kids, then I'd have the freedom to be really used by God. It could be a chronic pain or an illness in your life that runs through your family. If only we didn't have that, God could then really use me. We could fill in the blank. There are so many scenarios here. But hey, this is the best bit. So if you've been snoozing, that's okay. Wake up now, because this is the best bit. I've got good news, and I love the word brilliant. People who have known me for a little while know I use that word a lot. I say everything is brilliant. This is actually really brilliant. You and I, we are qualified. We're qualified by Christ. By Christ, and that's it. And let me tell you what you're qualified for. Okay, get this. By Christ, we are qualified to be completely forgiven. By Christ, we are qualified by Him alone to be filled with God's Holy Spirit today. It's by Christ we are qualified to receive healing. It is by Christ we are qualified to get our prayers answered. It is by Christ we are qualified to prosper and to experience His blessing. We are qualified by Christ to have a friendship, an honest friendship with Jesus, and have access to Him whenever we want. And again, you know, some of you might be like, oh, okay, that sounds great. But, you know, if only you knew, Sarah, you know, you might not be able to say that to me. But with all due respect, really with all due respect, it doesn't matter, because this is the good news. Jesus Christ paid the price to qualify you and me. And right now, like this second, it's because of Jesus' blood that you and I qualify for all of God's blessings. We qualify for an honest relationship with Jesus. We qualify to live life not by ourselves alone, but in Christian community. And our weaknesses, they pose no threat to this truth. And so for a second, just take a look around. Next, you know, the person to the left of you, the right of you. Look, you know, at the person in front of you, behind you. Our church, King's Cross Community. Let me just say this. We're definitely not a members-only club, right? We don't get together to just feel good about ourselves. We're not a museum where we just kind of bring our most beautiful curated versions of ourselves every Sunday to be displayed. The best thing I can describe our church as is a hospital. And you may have heard this before, but it's where the broken, the weak, those who fall short, those who are in pain can come together. And we can be renewed, made new in Jesus. I wonder if you believe me when I say that. I wonder if you believe me when I say that God doesn't waste a single thing about your life, about your weakness, about mine. That He can actually bring goodness and His glory through each and every person, each and every child upstairs in the other room. He can bring His glory through to us. I've got a story. I've been told stories are wonderful in sermons because people could really relax and they don't feel like they're being talked at. So relax, story time. On July 31st, 1941, this is a while back, a prisoner escaped from Auschwitz. And as a reprisal, the Gestapo, they selected 10 men at random to die in a starvation bunker. And one of the men who was selected to die was a man named Francis Gajanistek. I practiced that all week. Gajanistek. And when Francis was selected, he cried out, oh my goodness, you know, my poor wife and children, you know, they'll never see me again. And at that moment, a Polish man, he was very unimpressive looking, you know, imagine with me like wired glasses, really short and kind of unassuming, he steps up. And he says, you know, look, I'm a Catholic priest. I don't have a wife. I don't have children. And he said, I want to die instead of that man. And to everyone's amazement, the offer was taken. So Maximilian Kolbe, what a name. Maximilian Kolbe was the name of the Catholic priest. He was 47 years old at the time. And he went in with the other nine to the starvation bunker. And he was a remarkable man. Word got around that he got everyone praying and singing hymns, and the atmosphere of that bunker was very different. Everyone did pass away. He was the last to pass away, and he died by lethal injection on August 14th, 1941. Now, if you fast forward with me 41 years later, on October 10th, 1982, the year I was born, maybe some of you were born, Maximilian Kolbe's death was put in its proper perspective in St. Peter's Square in Rome. There was a crowd of 150,000 people, bishops, archbishops, cardinals, they all gathered. And in the midst of that group was that one man, the one man where his life was spared by this guy. Francis was there. And the Pope described the death of Maximilian Kolbe in these terms. He said, "It was a victory like that won by our Lord Jesus Christ." The newspaper later published the obituary of this man, Francis, the guy whose life was spared. And what it said in the obituary was that he spent the rest of his life going around and telling every person he could about what Maximilian Kolbe did for him. That this Catholic priest, you know, died in his place. And I'm all weepy because... if you think about how much more amazing it is that Jesus Christ has died in place of us. Every Sunday we take communion, and we don't usually sit in on what the crucifixion was like. A lot of us know already what the crucifixion was like, but today I just would love for us to just press in to what Jesus' death on the cross was actually like. The crucifixion is described as the most cruel and hideous of tortures. Jesus was stripped and tied to a whipping post. He was flogged with four or five tongs of leather interwoven with sharp, jagged bone and lead. Roman flogging is described in these terms. The sufferer's veins were laid bare, and the very muscles and bowels of the victim were open to exposure. A crown of thorns pushed onto his head. He was forced to carry a heavy crossbar on his bleeding shoulders until he collapsed. And at the site of the crucifixion, he was again stripped naked, laid on the cross, and 6-inch nails driven into his forearm just above the wrists. His knees were twisted sideways so that the ankles could be nailed between and lifted up on the cross. Ah, thanks. Oh, there's one left. Lifted up on the cross, which was then dropped into a socket in the ground. He hung there in unthinkable pain, and his life slowly drained away. It was the height of pain and the depth of shame. The cross is the greatest illustration of power in weakness. Like a helpless lamb going to slaughter, Jesus conquered all the obstacles and made a way for salvation. Our weaknesses, they have a purpose. They keep us relying on Jesus Christ. And our weaknesses makes God's strength perfect. So I wonder what it would take for you and me today to truly 100% believe that it is in Jesus Christ that we are more than qualified. We're more than qualified to be loved and used by God. That the reality of our weaknesses, it's the best way for God's glory to shine through. Oh my goodness, wowzers. Can I invite you to pray with me? I'm just going to lead us in a time of prayer. So take a minute to just reflect on that one question. Ask yourself, what would it take me today to truly believe that Jesus Christ, that in him I am more than qualified? I'm going to encourage us to not rush through this bit of prayer. We're going to just sit in prayer for a little bit. So really just begin by just reflecting on that one question. And as I was preparing, actually when I was in the back today, I was thinking, God, you know, what are you doing in our church? You know, how does this make any difference to the people in our church? And I just wonder if there's anyone today that has that record player, you know, that kind of tape on repeat where, you know, you wake up and you go to bed always saying over yourself, you know, I'm just not enough. I'm not good enough. I'd really love to pray for you today. And I'd love to pray that the Holy Spirit begins a work in you. And the Holy Spirit would bring to mind that, you know, the image of Jesus Christ, that in him our weaknesses are made perfect. And the last thing I wanted to ask was if there was anyone today that could really relate with one of those scenarios, that fill-in-the-blank scenario, you know, oh, you know, if only I didn't have that past, or if only I wasn't in this season, then maybe then God could use me. Again, I'd love to pray for you as well, that the Holy Spirit would remind you today, he's perfect. He's perfect in our weakness. Let's pray together. Again, in scripture it said that God's grace is enough, it's all we need, and that his strength comes into our own in our weakness. And again, just like Paul said, I love to pray that we as a church would just let Christ take over. So God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for reminding us today and teaching us, God, again, that in Jesus Christ, we are enough. We're good to go. God, we thank you that we get to learn this stuff in community, that you have not set us out to live life by ourselves, but that you've set great friends near us to walk and journey this life together. So as we now go into a time of communion, remind us, God, of that picture of Jesus on the cross. Remind us, God, of Jesus' face right now. And Holy Spirit, would you begin to move in our church right now? Bring healing, bring a perspective change, and just fill us, God, with more of you. I pray all of these things in your Son's name. Amen.